Welcome back to Matt Flynn, director on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. As always, I strongly encourage you to go to the Devil Radio website, download our app, especially, and this sounds strange, but listen to this. Darkness interferes with the AM signal and not the FM signal. So if you are listening to this, 1580 AM, as it gets darker and darker, earlier and earlier, and gets lighter later and later in the morning, it could interfere somewhat with the signal. Just download the app, go to our website, go to the Apple and Google stores, and you carry Devil Radio with wherever you go, 24/7. That does not affect 92.7 FM, but you're much better off with the app. And while you're at it, click on the Support Devil Radio. There are more than 80 right-wing broadcasts going out all the time in this state, supporting Trump, lying about the election, saying that there's something wrong with it, attacking our democracy. This station, all of its programming, are the strongest voices against that. And you've asked for that Support Devil Radio link, and there it is, and we appreciate it. Quick thing before we start going to the questions, somebody would say, well, what do I care if the governor of Virginia and the governor of New Jersey go Republican? What do I care? I'll tell you why you care, because then they won't certify the next presidential election and give the electors, especially the guy in Virginia, to the Republican. That's why. Okay? Our democracy is under attack. That's why pass the hard infrastructure, get a win in Biden's column, hold those governorships. Okay, we're going to do this in order, and we have some written questions in, or that people called in, I should say. Luke, please give me those questions. I'll respond, and then I'll go to the lines. Do not hang up if you're on the line.
Yeah, so we've got Ross from Lake, excuse me. It's too early in the morning for talking. Ross from Lake Mills is texting in this morning, and you can be like Ross and text us at 844-967-2789. But he's got two questions for you, Matt. The first being, he supports Israel, our ally, but is curious why they can't pay for the Iron Dome themselves. We finance our defense through our deficit spending. Why can't they? They're not a poor country. And his second question is, he is a retired postal carrier, and he took early Social Security and is limited to how much he can make each year. If the government were to remove that limitation, either short or long term, the government could have access to millions of retirees ages 62 to 66 that could work and alleviate some of the worker shortage. And wants to hear your thoughts on those two questions. So thanks for texting,
Ross.
Yeah,
those are excellent questions, Ross. As always, thanks for calling in. I'll start with the one on Israel. First of all, I think there's a couple of important things to understand about that. First of all, Israel has to be given permission to even buy this stuff because it's American technology. Secondly, foreign aid, especially foreign military aid, has to be spent in the United States. So Israel is going to buy this stuff with $1 billion we provide, but it's going to be made by American defense contractors and American workers who are getting union wages and benefits. Third, Israel has strategic importance to the United States. We have good relations with Jordan. It's an excellent ally. And we have increasingly good relations with Egypt, certainly with the United Arab Emirates, Bahrain, and the rest. But basically, Israel is a stalwart ally in a region of shifting alliances with Iran right next door, Iran, which funds terrorism in Syria, and against Saudi Arabia and in Yemen and everywhere else. And it's a stable ally. The other thing is, you say it's a wealthy country. Compared to some of the Islamic countries, it has a higher standard of living, but it is certainly not wealthy by European or American standards. And there are about almost a billion five Islamic people around the world, where there is at least an official expression of antagonism to Israel, and they're a country of what, 6 to 9 million people, including Palestinians. A lot of Palestinians in that country. And I have a lot of admiration for them to be able to day to day live normal lives when you have that sea of anger. And that anger is all uncalled for. It's cultural. It's basically the jihad imperative, of forcibly convert or exterminate apostates. That's got to stop. And the United States has to stand up for our allies who stand up to that. So for all those reasons, I think it's money well spent. It's going to be spent in the United States, made by American workers. It's the nature of foreign aid. We give Pakistan $2 billion a year, $2 billion a year. We give Egypt a couple of billion a year. We give Jordan, you know, a lot of people money like that. And frankly, it serves our interest. It serves our interest. On your other one, great thing, great question about Social Security. I personally think there should be no restrictions on working and getting your Social Security. If you're entitled to Social Security, you're entitled to it, period, end of story. And I think you make a good point. And if people could also work, we wouldn't have a labor shortage right now. There are a lot of retired folks who would take a 20-hour a week job somewhere and work. But one thing I got to tell you, Ross, this business about taking early Social Security, everybody out there, you can take it at 62 or 60, you know, any time after 62, but 65 is full retirement, but you can go to 70 and a half. My strong advice is, unless you really need it, wait till 70 and a half. Why? Because every year you wait, that money increases by 8%. The paycheck you're going to get from 70 and a half on is exponentially larger than at 62. Now you may say, okay, well, but what happens if I die? Shouldn't I have grabbed it? And here's the actuarial answer. You can believe it or not. You can Google it. If you and your wife say, for instance, because when one of you dies, the other can you to take the greater Social Security payment. If the other one's is greater, like the wife is not as big as the husband, you take the husband. If you are going to live to 84, it's sort of a wash. If you and your wife live to 84, it doesn't matter really whether you took it at 62 or 70, although probably you're going to blow it, the early stuff. But if you live beyond 84, you are crazy to have taken it at 62 or even 65, unless you absolutely need it. If you need it, you need it. But if you don't need it, leave it in there. It's accumulating to your benefit at 8% a year. 8% a year from 62 to 70 and a half. It's 8.5 years at 8% a year. And if you live into your late 80s or 90s, you are going to be very glad that you have that big check. So I waited till 70 and a half. I didn't need it right away. Yeah, I'm gambling. I'll live to be 84. Okay, so what? And if I don't, fine. But the odds are actuarially you will. And then if you live beyond that, and it's actually like 83 and a half, but if you live beyond that, you are going to thank your lucky stars that you held off. But I agree with you, Ross, that people should be able to work regardless because they were entitled to it. And thank you for calling. Good questions. Next on the line, Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
Well, unless, of course, the Republicans just take it completely, Social Security. But kind of a question for Manchin. I don't trust him either as well as you. But with what he's doing, gutting out the climate change thing on this bill, I would think if I'm Biden and he's having these little heart-to-heart meetings, I'd lean across the table and say, hey, Joe, why don't you go to Glasgow next week instead of me and you explain your position and the position you put us in with your stupidity on this climate change part of the bill? You can explain it to the rest of the world because I certainly don't want to have to go there and have my hands tied. And yeah, like I was, think I mentioned a week or so ago, if nothing comes of climate change in this whole thing, how do you go and sell this to the rest of the world if you're in fact not doing it yourself?
Right. You know, Dick, you nailed it. And the fact is, Joe could say that to Manchin. I don't trust Manchin. Here's the deal. For everybody out there, the thing that's most shameful to me in Manchin and Sinema's really betrayal of the party and the country on this is that Manchin won't vote for it if it has only $150 billion to convert power plants to clean energy from coal and compensate coal miners who lose their jobs and transition them to other industries. It's going to happen anyway. It's going to happen anyway. Detroit is going to go all electric cars by 2035. It's going to happen anyway. But it comes out that Manchin owns a big interest in a coal company. And he has worked with lobbyists to increase the price of coal. He's getting money out of this. I'm tired of Manchin. The problem is, it's a vote and we need the vote. Joe Biden's hands are tied. Manchin is feathering his own nest, and I do not trust him. And if he went to Glasgow, I don't trust anything he would say. Thanks a lot, Dick. Bill of Econowalk, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Bill?
A couple of things. First, they were talking about Social Security a few minutes ago. You know, if people had listened to Al Gore, he wanted a lockbox on Social Security. When that lockbox was voted down, Paul Ryan rated that like a thief. You got to go back and look at it. And you know what I'm talking about. I know you do.
Absolutely.
I took Social Security at 62. And the reason I did is, quite honestly, when I entered the working world, I didn't believe it was there. I hadn't even planned for it. Because that is, they use that thing as just a big grab box for money. And if it was exposed, how that wanted to be taken care of and what happened to it, these guys would be out on their ears. One last thing. The Republican Party is science deniers, whether it's medicine, environment, whatever. They're science deniers. They think that a guy like Tucker Carlson knows more than Dr. Fauci. What a joke. What a freaking joke. How can you dumb yourself down that bad that you believe in Tucker Carlson and not Dr. Fauci? Remember, it was once said that if you're your own doctor, you have a fool for a patient. So that should kind of cover it, you know, with all those cornballs over there. But last point, YouTube, a lot of the hearings, you're going to get some interesting feedback in how these people have to defend their insanity, especially Jim Jordan and Matt Gaetz. I mean, just unbelievable. But keep up the good fight, Matt. You're doing a great job.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Bill. You said a mouthful. We're going to a break, but very good stuff. Matt Gaetz, believe it or not, I think will be in prison before the end. I mean, this guy is in tough shape down there. That trafficking issue and his conspirator has spilled the beans. He looks, you don't hear about him anymore. Gymnasium Jim GYM Jordan was one of the conspirators. He met with Trump personally. These other congressmen met with staff and each other. He met with Trump. He met with Trump. And you know what he said the other day? He said he doesn't remember how many times. I'm tired of the guy. Good comments. Going to a break. Line still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Will later be last, 'cause the time.